there are others as well. You know, there is simply the idea of expressing one's presence to the chola is already a great level of chizuk. There's one contemporary sefer that noted that the Ramban seems to be l'shitaso. The Ramban seems to be in accordance with his own opinion, because one of the factors that he talks about is simply just being there to be present for the chola. And that's how the Ramban seems to understand in his commentary to Chumash, that when Avram is visited by God, so the Ramban there writes that God was giving him a yashar koach for fulfilling the mitzvah of bris milah. And the Gemara says that it was bikur cholam. So there are some who explain that the Ramban is l'shitaso here, that basically they're both true, that a part of bikur cholam is just being present for the chola, just being there to share what they're going through. And that's a big part of the mitzvah. And on top of that, this idea that one should daven on behalf of the chola is a very big focus. And the idea also that one should see how they can be helpful. So there are many who note that both biblically and Talmudically, that the word bikur doesn't necessarily translate as to visit. That's how we often translate it. Okay, levaker, I'm going to go to visit the chola. But we find in many usages that the word bikur means to investigate. And if that's the case, so maybe the purpose of Bikur Cholam is to investigate what we can do on behalf of the chola. My father, Zichrono Levracha, was a big master at Bikur Cholam. He used to always call up in advance to find out what flavor ice cream the chola likes, so he can make sure to bring them ice cream that will gladden their spirits. But in any event, so these various purposes of Bikur Cholam, so as Rav Moshe and many others who talked about this, Steif and the Merchitz Yitzchak, and there were many who had truvas about this. So they did purposes you could fulfill over the phone call, although some more than others. So to a certain extent, you can express your presence through a phone call, or avenues through technology, which one has to examine each one in its own right, and each one with its own advantages and disadvantages. So what if it's not a phone call, but what if it's a FaceTime, or what if it's a text, or what if it's an email? Each one has its pluses and minuses. Some are more direct, some don't force the chola to respond right away, which is considered to itself be a mila, because maybe the individual is not ready to come to the phone right now, and maybe that phone call is not so welcome, and maybe a text or an email might be more appreciated. So that's a subtle question which can vary. But there are those who thought, okay, so let's look at the various purposes that we find in Bikur Cholam and see how we can accomplish as many of them as possible. So perhaps you'll get a sense of what the chola needs. Maybe you'll get a sense of where the chola is holding to be able to daven effectively on their behalf. That's an interesting question. It's a delicate point, the issue of getting a sense of where they're holding, because it sounds like from the Gemara, there's a Gemara which is interpreted in different ways, but the Gemara says that one should only visit in the middle of the day. And the way that the Vilna Gaon and others understand that Gemara is that you're supposed to get a realistic picture of the condition of the chola so that you can daven effectively on their behalf. So if you're going to come in the first quarter of the day, so if we assume that the patient gets worse as the day goes on, so the first quarter of the day, you'll get an unrealistically optimistic picture. And if you'll come in the last quarter of the day, you'll get an unrealistically pessimistic picture. So better to come in the middle of the day, you'll get the most accurate picture possible. So how much can you do that over the phone is a good question. And there were those who were concerned that maybe you're not really going to get such a accurate picture over a phone call. Similarly, the question of can you find out what the person needs. So that maybe yes, Maybe no. Can you express your presence? Probably to a certain degree. So that's what led a lot of poskim to say it's somewhere in the middle, that there is a lot you can accomplish and some that is lacking. The Minchas Yitzchak said maybe it depends, that the Gemara says that you should visit even 100 times a day if you have to, which is an interesting question, what exactly that means, practically speaking. But he essentially understands that maybe once you've had that first in-person visit, so then there are checkup visits to constantly be on top of the situation, and that's affected through a phone call. So there were those who thought it was essentially somewhere in the middle, and there were those who thought that the fact is that Chazal set up this extra format of Bikur Cholim in a specific way. There is a drasha the Gemara has in two places, in Bava Metzia and in Bava Kama, which is a drasha on the Pasuk, actually, where the Gemara talks about Yisro's advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Yisro tells Moshe he should set up the hierarchical court system, so he also gives other pieces of advice. And he tells him that you have the job of telling everybody about the big values, about instructing the Jews about what the Torah is all about. So the Pasuk says, Vodaitim Sadarach Yelchu Ba, V'yasamaisa Asher Yasun. So Sadarach Yelchu Ba, so the Gemara has a drash over there, Yelchu, that's a reference to Bikur Cholim. And the Marsha has a comment over there, that the word yelchu means to convey that apparently this is a mitzvah that requires you to actually go to the person. You didn't have the option of a phone call or a FaceTime or a Zoom interaction, but nonetheless, the later sources, some of them refer to this marsha as saying that essentially it has a certain surah to it. This is an attitude that Rav Asher Weishlita has as well, that recently republished his Sefer Al HaTorah and Sefer Bereishis. So he has, in Parshas Vayera, he has a long piece about Bikur Cholim. So he writes there also that he thinks that, yes, it could be true that you have all these various aspects that maybe you could fulfill to some extent or another through a phone call. But nonetheless, there was a specific format that Chazal set up for how this mitzvah is to be performed above and beyond the general rubric of chesed. And if you don't have your actual physical presence, so then that's not what the mitzvah is. It's still chesed, so it's certainly still worthwhile. But the specific directive of Bikur Cholim would have these rules, and you're not going to have that with just a phone call. And others thought differently. So, for example, Rav Huttner has an essay in the Igros Uksavim Pachad Yitzchak where he says that he thinks that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is more than adequately fulfilled through the phone call, because he understood it as talking about this idea of investigating the situation. So his opinion was that it's 100% fulfilled over the phone call. Rav Asher discusses, that interpretation, his piece. He says he realizes that, but nonetheless, still, he says there's a specific surah for the mitzvah, and that still requires more to it. So essentially, you have this range of opinions where you have a good chunk of poskim saying that it's essentially in the middle, that it's not going to accomplish everything, but it is much better than nothing. You have some who say that really this isn't the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim at all. It's certainly a chesed. It's certainly a good idea to accomplish as much as you can through this specific format, but it doesn't address everything that Chazal wanted us to address within this. And on the other extreme, you have like Rav Huttner and a few others who would say that this is 100% of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. It accomplishes everything that Bikur Cholim requires, and that's going to be a complete fulfillment of the mitzvah. So it's interesting also just to spend a few minutes directing the focus specifically on Nichum Avelim, because here you have many poskim who considered the question, who considered the relationship between the two mitzvos, which have a lot of overlap. And there are some who discuss these questions together, assume that Nichum Aveilim and Bikur Cholim have the same framework, and some who discuss them differently. And once again, so when somebody is unable to come in person to be Menachem Avil, so you'll have many who will say that same kind of conclusion, that essentially it is the middle, that it's not a perfect fulfillment, but it is far better than nothing. Some who discuss this, these two shaylas together. So, for example, Rav Nassim Gishtetner, Zichron Levracha, they came out with a edition of the Tshuvas Laharus Nassim after he passed away, a small volume, volume 16 of the Tshuvas Laharus Nassim. He has a short tshuva about this, where he says that he thinks in both cases, whether it's Bikur Cholim or Nichum Aveilim, he quotes from the Drashos of the Ksav Sofer, that the purpose of these mitzvos are also supposed to influence the visitor to think about his life and to think about his mortality and to think about what could happen to him. And therefore, it really needs to be a direct interaction. So, okay, you get the various components that are invoked in one direction or the other. But when it comes to Nichum Aveilim, so there are a few added considerations, that even though a lot of poskim did take the same middle path, better than nothing, not ideal, but there are those who went to one extreme or the other. So what exactly are some of the additional considerations as far as Nichum Aveilim are concerned? And this is particularly relevant, unfortunately, because Nebuchadnezzar people sitting Shiva alone this week. It's very sad. Again, here in Bergen County, that's been the restriction, that no Shiva visits. So what can one do if one is not able to come and to pay a Shiva call? So here you find a couple of considerations, and there are some who point to a statement of the Rambam, basically a Chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam says that there is a dual chesed when it comes to Nichum Aveilim, that Nichum Aveilim has two sets of recipients. A Nichum Aveilim is something that we do on behalf of the surviving Aveilim who need to be comforted, but it's also something done for the Nifter. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos suggests that the neshama of the Nifter remains in that location for the week after the Patira, which is why we find a preference in Halacha that the Shiva should be observed in the home of the Nifter specifically. So for that purpose, the Rambam says a double chesed. And he says, therefore, it's more important, he says, than something like Bikur Cholim. That if you have to choose between Bikur Cholim and Nichum Aveilim, so better to do Nichum Aveilim because it's a chesed l'chaim and a chesed l'mesim. So in that context, there are those who raise the question. They say that, so maybe to make a phone call to an avil, or maybe to write a letter, which was something some of the earlier Sfarim talk about. The Brisker Rav has a letter about this, where he points out that it doesn't seem to be any focus specifically on dibur for the mitzvah of Nichum Aveilim. So therefore, a letter should also be effective. And if that's the case, so that might be true, that to be able to try to comfort the Avel through a letter or in a contemporary context, through an email or through a text message or through any other such venue, so that might be effective. But some point out that if there are two chasadim here, so then maybe that's only effective for helping out the mourners, but it doesn't necessarily do anything for the nifter. That if there is a notion that coming to the house of the nifter is a nechama for him as well, so then that's not apparently going to be accomplished through some other mechanism. So there are some who suggest that you have to try to address each one separately. So in such a circumstance where you can't come in person, so you should call or write in order to address the mourners. And for the sake of the niftar, you should do something else, like, for example, learning Mishnayos, do something to try to bring about an Iluy Neshama for the niftar, because not being able to come to the house is going to be a loss as far as that's concerned as well. So that's one aspect that is observed, that there is that component of trying to get both at the same time. Some point out that maybe if we're talking about a phone call, you're only addressing the Avelim, so then the Rambam's whole cheshbon about being a double chesed is not really going to, it's not really going to play out. And then so if, I guess if you only have time for one phone call to call a choler, to call a novel, which, you know, who knows, unfortunately, now we also find that we're so overloaded with everybody that we're trying to look out for under these circumstances, that unfortunately we may find that we're trying to prioritize in somewhat of an extreme way. So that maybe the Rambam's idea that Nicham Avelim takes a priority is not going to be true anymore. Others point out that it's hard to know how to apply that Rambam in the first place, and presumably every consideration that you have of which chesed to prioritize is always going to be affected by the variables of that particular case. There are people who are in one situation maybe much more in need of attention than others, and it's hard to give absolute abstract, say this mitzvah always comes before that mitzvah. It's very hard to apply that way. There are some who consider the question, and some of the contemporary machabrim consider the question of, okay, so let's assume, like our situation now, that you're not able to come in person. So what would be preferable? So should you write a letter or should you make a phone call? And among the suggestions that you find is that it all depends what exactly it is you're trying to accomplish. That if you were actually friends with the Avelim and you're trying to be there for them in their time of tsar, so then a phone call might be better. That might be a way that's what they need. But if you are, let's say, a prominent person who's trying to come and show honor to the nifter, so then a letter might be a better way to do that, especially if you don't really have a relationship with the Avelim anyway. And the letter will stick around so the Avelim can show the letter to other people, and that will increase the honor of the nifter. So if that's the situation, so then it might be a better route for that. So it depends on what exactly it is you're trying to accomplish as far as your Nichum Avelim. It might be that different people may make different decisions because of the circumstance that they find themselves in. But another element that is different for Nichum Avelim than for Bikur Cholim, although it's got relevance to Bikur Cholim also, but it's more specifically relevant in the case of Nichum Avelim, is that there is a important halacha which is not always appreciated, but it's a real halacha and a real din. The Gemara in Maseches Magen, it's quoted la halacha. The Gemara has a din that ein hamnachamim rishayim ledaber ad sheyiftach ha'avel tchila, that the comforters are not supposed to talk until the avel speaks first. And this is a real din. How exactly it plays out is an important question, and what exactly it's meant to accomplish is an important question. It seems like the purpose of this din is that you need to allow the Avel to give you an indication of what they need and to give you an indication of where they're holding. And that if you come in with a preset speech and you're just ready to say the same thing to every other without giving any investigation into where the person is holding and without stopping to check what kind of a message they need to hear, so that's going to not be a very effective type of Nichum Avelim. So how exactly this plays out in the context of every in-person Shiva call is an important question, probably a little bit outside of the scope, but it was thought that was pshat in the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Brachos. So you were learning Daf Yomi now, so this is a little more than 2 months ago, where the Gemara says that agra debetamya shtika, that reward for attending a house of an avel is calibrated based on the shtika, based on the silence. So that's a little surprising, because if we assume Nicham Avelim requires one to actually speak and to engage with the Avel, so why is it defined by Shtika? First of all, we have to emphasize that as important as it is to say the right thing, it's much more important to avoid saying the wrong thing, which too many people are not always able to avoid. So if that's what we're considering, so silence is for sure better. But, and there are many who have illustrated that point in various effective ways, but more to the point here also is that it's important for the visitor to be able to gauge where the avel is holding and what is going to be helpful. And it's hard to do that over the phone. It's a real loss. It's not something which is a small point, because when you call at any random point and the avel is brought to the phone at that specific moment, it may not be a time when it's really convenient for them to speak. And it's hard for them to telegraph to the caller where exactly they're holding when the caller can't see them and the avel is forced into the conversation at that point in time. So it is a significant drawback. That's not something that is a small point. And one has to be aware, has to be careful when deciding when to call, how to call. Maybe it's a good idea to text in advance. Is now a good time to call? Should I call now? Should I call later? All of that is part of the consideration, because there is something lacking. So this is something to keep in mind. It's very striking that Rav Huttner, we mentioned before that his letter in the Irgus Luxov and Pachet Yitzchak, so he was on the extreme on the Bikur Cholim front, where he said that you're Yotzei the mitzvah 100% through the phone call. It's not even a b'di'eved, but it's the complete mitzvah. So here he went to the other extreme. He thought that Nicham Mevelim, you're Yotzei 0% over the phone, that the whole surah of that mitzvah involves actually sitting down together with the Avel and being a part of the physical presence. So again, so then there's still the broader chesed that's involved, and the biggest kavod to the nifter and to the Avelim is not to bring any danger to human life and the pursuit of this mitzvah. So if it's not safe, so then this is what we are unfortunately stuck with. But we try to do the best we can to accomplish as many of the goals as possible, even if it's not perfect. And there's no question that we find ourselves in a deeply imperfect situation right now, to say the least. But we do the best we can to try to accomplish as much of it as possible. And maybe I'll just mention, in that sense, is an interesting machlokas between two 20th century Talmidei Chachamim who had a debate about this with the Tshuvas Avnei Shoham and the Tshuvas Avnei Yaakov, where they talked about whether the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim could be accomplished through a shliach. So if somebody can't go himself, so can he appoint somebody else to go perform the mitzvah on his behalf? So the Avnei Shoham wrote, says that this is not a mitzvah which lends itself to shlichus. This is what we call a mitzvah shebegufo, as the Tosfos Rid made the distinction in his commentary to Kedushin, that a mitzvah shebegufo is a mitzvah which is about your physical body, and it's not just about a goal. So therefore, you can't have somebody else perform that mitzvah on your behalf. If you send somebody else to go, so they'll fulfill the mitzvah, but you won't fulfill the mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah shebegufo. And the Avnei Yaakov had a response to that, where he said, essentially, it depends what we're talking about. He said, if you have a mitzvah where you have 10 people appoint one person as a shliach to do the mitzvah, so if shlichus works, so then that would work too. But here, if you imagine, if you have somebody who's sick, and 10 people say, okay, instead of visiting, so we'll be mimana one person to be a shliach on all our behalf, so it's hard to believe that that accomplishes the same thing as if all 10 had visited. But maybe it accomplishes somewhere in the middle, so that maybe if he's able to come and really convey the good wishes of all the people who was sent in, and if they all sent letters and they all sent presents or something like that. So maybe there is somewhere in the middle. So it all is going to come down to what is actually being conveyed through that interaction. And that's really what we have here as well. Whether it's Nechama, whether it's Bicholim, whether it's any other such mitzvah where we would rather be there in person, but we're not able to. Another such case is Simchas Chasan and Kala, where so many going on this week, where people had expected to have wonderful celebrations with large crowds of their friends and family and are being deprived of all that. And there's still a mitzvah of Simchas Chasan and Kala, even if you can't be there. So to try to accomplish what you can, try to see how much of the goals of the mitzvah you can accomplish without actually being there in person, and to make use of the technology that we have is the call of the moment. It's true also the mitzvah of hesped. You know, we can't gather in large groups for funerals either, but the mitzvah of chesed can be a mitzvah of hesed. The mitzvah of hesped can be conveyed also through other means. There is a lot that we can do to try to focus in on what the purpose of these chasadim are, and try to do as much as we can to make sure that even if we are prevented from actually carrying them out in their perfect form, that we're able to maximize the fulfillment of their goals and their purposes as much as possible. And chesed is our biggest chus. So the more chesed we can do, despite the fact that there's so much in our way, and despite the fact that there's so much that is an impediment, if we're able to be creative and get a lot of chesed done, so hopefully it should be a chus for all of us that we should speedily leave this situation of crisis, and that we should soon be in the circumstances where we're able to reconnect in the full sense of the word. Okay, so I guess we'll stop there. I thank you all for joining me. And again, we look very forward to the time when we don't have to meet in these contexts. And hopefully things should be brought back to normal as soon as possible.
Thank you, Robert Film. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.